Blog Talk Radio.
Bless you all. Please give me sound check. Please give me tens if you hear me in your live chat. If you're listening to us on the repeat on our YouTube channel, you can find us live Thursday night, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/straightway. That's where we're airing right now, live. And I will go ahead and let my guest host, bless you, Mother Jennifer. Mother Jennifer is not here with us tonight. And my guest host will surprise you all. Go ahead and introduce yourself and say a few words.
Not very much of a surprise, but it's Mother Carol. I'm very thankful to be here. Thank you, Sister Ashley and Mother Jennifer, for allowing me to do the show. Of course, first and foremost, I give honor to the Most High Yah, the maker and creator of all things and our King and Savior, and very thankful for my husband, the strong man of Yah in this hour and in this generation, Pastor Dow, my sister wives, and all of my family here at Straightway. I'm just very grateful to be here, to be living here amongst the righteous and amongst the set apart of the Most High Yah. I really do enjoy keeping in touch with some of the ones that live overseas, and I love hearing from Sister Aya, Stephen Wenda, Sister Carrie, all of those that live outside of the country that are standing by themselves, that are keeping the faith, and when they don't have all of us around to be able to do that. So just know that you're always in my thoughts and in my prayers. Thank you, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, so tonight, how it's going to go down, because we don't have any specific plan. We're just ready and available and sitting here for you. I'm going to start tonight with a question from an email that we received since last week. Tonight was my first time reading that email. All praises to the Most High Yah that we have 11 days until Feast of Pentecost. And let's see, that'll be 8 days maybe or so. Nine days maybe until some of you start arriving. All right. So as we've been doing, Mother, we've been doing please call and please send your emails. We're going to do the same thing tonight. If you'd like to ask Mother something, if you'd like to, I'll stay busy on the chat. I got, you know, Sakina will help me with the chat as well if you have some questions for her. If you just want to listen, we'll just conversate as usual. If you want to email us, we'll keep up with our inbox throughout tonight's show. So straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com, all lowercase. And you can share your heart, share your mind. I'm going to start off with this email and this question, hoping that it kicks off a good conversation, knowing that it will, of course. I think the last time I had Mother on, we were only here for about an hour or so. So, we don't have plans. It's going to be up to what you all want to know or hear from her. It is an honor, Mother, to know you, to have learned so much from you, and to have you as a fellow servant and, you know, just a helper of my faith. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So from the inbox, the question comes out of Romans 8, 26 and 27. And the verse says, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I'm going to pause right there. Do you experience that?
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Me as well. And it reads, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of Yah. I'm going to read that last part one more time. He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of the Most High Yah. Her question is, I'm wondering, does this apply to repentance, she says. Mother?
The Spirit knows, Yah knows all things. He knows the inner workings and the depths of your heart, everything that you've done and everything that you have not confessed. And your groanings, mostly your groanings are for knowing what you have within your own self that is unrepentant, because if it has been repented of, there shouldn't be that anguish of spirit concerning it if you truly are free. And repentance has to be something confessed with the mouth. You need to confess. Yes, the Spirit does pray and give utterance on the things that you need for your spirit. However, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, so Yah does require a confession. When you're repenting, if you don't know everything that you need to repent for, one, you can do blanket repentance, Father, everything, but you do need to be specific. And if you don't know of certain things, ask the Father to bring things to your remembrance that you need to repent for, that you're not clean from. Ask him to search you. Ask him to create in you a clean heart. Ask for him to renew in you a right spirit. And in that, you have to be clean. So if you're asking him, he's not going to give you a stone for bread. He is going to reveal those things to you, whether it be through his spirit or through preaching or through someone else. You may hear a word that brings something to your knowledge or to your remembrance that you need to repent for. We get it all the time, things in our past that maybe we have forgotten about. And in your meditation and in your thoughts towards Yah, because he said, think on him all the time. Think on these things. Think on him. Not just thinking on the bad, I mean thinking on good things, but he will bring those things to your mind that you do need to repent for. It could be something from a long ago. And then in your meditation, you can, I don't think you need to always just be thinking on the past and things like that, but you do need to be meditating on what you can get clearance from, what you can be freed from. Father, if there's anything in this area that I'm guilty of and I don't remember. Please bring it to my remembrance. And so many times you can hear something that will spark, oh, I remember this, I did that, or I, especially in the areas of the occult, so many times you have forgotten about things you may have done. You may have played with a Ouija board when you were a child or when you were in Girl Scout camp or something, and it might spark a memory. That memory is there to help you to be able to bring forth repentance for it. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes. Hallelujah. So, again, emails open tonight. Send them in. Get some feedback from Mother. StraightwayHelpMe@gmail.com. I'm very blank, so I'm going to listen and I'm going to mediate for you all. Here's the email, fresh in. Shalom and bless you all. Well, this question came to mind after the show last week. When seeking deliverance for arrested development, what are your thoughts on speaking to natural family members, mother or father, or any other natural family that you feel may have caused or been involved in any trauma you experienced as a child? Is it wise to ask them questions pertaining to a trauma? Should you ask questions about your or their upbringing to gain understanding and not bring yourself into it all? How deep should you dive, especially pertaining to feelings of emotional abandonment and neglect? Thank you for your time. Mother?
If you have a relationship with your parents or siblings after the flesh that you can speak with, I have recommended to different sisters to dive into their past on certain things because of certain spirits that they're dealing with. And they were actually able to, a lot of them were actually able to speak with a sibling or a parent and get some clearance and some freedom. And also, they have gotten to a place of repentance as well and even, you know, told the saint that they were sorry for some of the things that have taken place. But if you go to a natural family member, you do need to be wise in your dealings, in what you're seeking. If there's something that you see that may be even in a parent or in your siblings, or one of them may have been at fault for something, you don't want to go with a spirit of judgment. You don't want to go with a spirit of accusation. You're inquiring for yourself. And you pray for them and let the Father deal with them on it, but you're trying to get free for yourself. So if you have that kind of relationship with your family, then absolutely, you can go to a natural family member. But if you haven't spoken to your family, you left with on bad terms and things like that, then it may not always be the best idea to go and start asking questions on that nature if you haven't been in touch with them. But ask the Father. Ask the Father to bring those things to your remembrance if you can't speak with a family member. But I hope that answers your question.
Hallelujah. All right, well, blessed be the Most High, Yah. I believe we have some direction. At least he's ministering to my mind, you know. I'll jump right back to your questions and the inbox in just a minute, sisters. Let me intercede and kind of go this way. And then hopefully we'll even get more questions along this line. When it comes to accepting yourself and loving yourself and loving being a woman, with the sternness of your Creator as a father chastening those who he loves, with the rawness of the word shaking our conscience to, you know, wake us up, keep us from the flesh, with the fight and Satan's hate for us, as prophesied in the beginning that, you know, it's us against him, the serpent, right?
Absolutely.
So as a woman, we have an internal fight to develop a love for ourselves that only you can do from within.
Absolutely.
And so I'd like you to speak to that, to the women, to help them hear the word with gladness, to help them receive chastisement, to help them. I think I've said enough, but whatever comes to your mind, flow first, Mother, and then I'll kind of go back and forth with you for a minute, and you guys can send in your thoughts or your type in the chat or your questions in the inbox, please. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
I believe it first starts with acceptance of who you are and what you are, and, you know, you can, a lot of Daughters of Zion, didn't grow up, you know, with a mother and father in the home where they felt love and all of these kinds of things, and I do understand that. But don't let that be the catalyst for not loving yourself in the long run, because Yah has always loved you. And I think because women have that natural nature of wanting to be accepted, wanting to be loved, wanting to be nurtured, and wanting to be cared for. So when that is missing, I think it puts a spirit within women that always receive everything as negative or everything that is against them because they didn't have fathers that, you know, love them but also chastise them, because that's the greatest form of love. And in that acceptance and learning that reverence for a father after the flesh, I think automatically helps you to be able to not receive Yah's word in a negative way, but receive it as that same love and affection that you had from a natural father. I always correlate the both, because it's one and the same. We're under this covering of male headship and authority our whole lives, and so many women grew up not accepting, first and foremost, even being a woman, even being a daughter, and loving to be a daughter, loving the feminine things. And I'm not saying it has to be over feminine, but it should actually be feminine. But that part of that comes from, you know, what we learned, what we received from our parents. And receiving Yah's word may have to take you back. If you can't receive it in a loving way and in a way of chastisement, the godly way, then you may have to go back into your past and see how you received correction as a child, how you received from a father or a male figure in your life. It may not have been your father, but from anyone that was there supposedly to help you or be over you or be a headship over you, how did you receive from them? Was there a reason why you didn't? Was there fear involved? Was there reverence involved? All of these things, you can kind of go and look and see where you've come from and then change the way that you think about it. And in changing the way that you think just means changing your mind. And people say, well, how do I do that? How do I change my mind? Just do it. Just change it. I always remember Pastor telling the story about I told you all that he was shy when he was younger, you know, maybe 6th or 7th grade or something like that, maybe even younger. And one day he just said, why am I this way? I don't need to be shy, you know, in a bad way. So he changed his mind and changed his whole nature. And now he's the man of Yah for this generation. So I just think that it's we put so much into it and we think so much into it when we just should have the honor and the reverence for Yah and his word, because this is how he decided to create us. And if we accept that and love that about the Most High Yah and appreciate that about the Most High Yah, I think we can go a lot further as women.
Sounds good. Good start. For the majority of the listeners, I assume, it's a total assumption, that there wasn't a balance in the home of chastisement and nurture.
Right, right.
And there is that balance with the Creator, with the Father. There's the chastisement, which you even just said was the greatest form of love.
Yes.
And there's the comfort.
Yes.
Because he's the Comforter. That's what he calls his Ruach and his Holy Spirit. So I think that's just something to consider, my sisters, because if you're searching back in your memory, as she said, to do, and you're finding, you know, the temper tantrums mm-hmm. that you had, or you're finding the lack of nurture, mm-hmm. the failures, the abuse maybe, or maybe just the stubbornness and the will that mm-hmm. that potentially all of us had, that's still manifest here. And I'm going to let you finish that sentence.
Yah hasn't done any of those things to us. You know, so many times Yah gets blamed for what everyone else has done, but he's always nurtured. But you haven't reached out to feel his nurturing. And when you really absolutely do that, you'll realize all along that he was always the one that was comforting and nurturing. On every up day that you've had, when you're up and you just seem like you're happy that day and having a good day, that is Yah. That's because your spirit actually decided to receive Yah that day. So we have to really put it in perspective of not putting Yah in a guilt box for everything that has taken place instead of reaching out to him, because we're supposed to reach out to him as the children and not him to, he does to us regardless, but we are supposed to reach to him. It shows him how much we love him.
Good. So our minds and our carnal state can bring him down to our corruptible image.
Yes.
Because in the word it says not to.
Yes.
You know, so that's already like a forewarning that your mind, you will be able to bring me down to your corruptible image, because in the word it says don't do that. And in the word he says, I found fault with them.
Yes.
So I made a new covenant.
Yes.
Which means he even found the fault. Like, you guys,
right.
y'all
right.
jacking this all up. This
right.
is what I'm going to do to you, right?
Yes.
So if we look out amongst each other, mom, dad, everyone
mm-hmm.
in our family, lives, saints around, whoever, and we say that's Yah, then we can, like you say, blame him falsely and create this corruptible image, really. And it brings me to 2 Chronicles 19:7. Wherefore now let the fear of Yah be upon you. Take heed, do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. He's not like us.
Right,
in so many ways. And so that goes back to what you were saying a moment ago where you said, change your mind.
Yes.
How do I do that? I get his mind.
Yes.
How do I do that? I seek him for it. Right?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Even his mercy is beyond our imagination. It's beyond any form of mercy that we can even think and conjure up for people that have done wrong almost in every aspect. All of us now in this form have been born in sin, and we show it that we have been. But his mercy is so immeasurable, and it's such an awesome thing. We can't even perceive it in our minds how merciful Yah is for his people. So when he is blamed for judging us in a manner that we deserve, we don't see the mercy. But the mercy is always there.
Always. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right. Okay, so maybe that will come up throughout the night if any of you have questions regarding, loving yourself. It really, really grants you a lot of peace to understand that the Father created daughters and loves his daughters with, can I say equality, but with a perfect balance in his kingdom.
And me having more than one sex child, I had one son and one daughter. And the love is equal as far as my being a mother.
Yeah.
Like Pastor had Sister Esther come up and, spoke of how she loves both her daughters. They're different. They're different personalities. So I see how to love a son and how to love a daughter. And you're harsher, usually a woman is harsher on the daughter, because the natural way that we should be, we want them to be meek and quiet and godly and all of these things. So
mm-hmm.
you're pushing that because you see so much of what you didn't have.
Yes, you hate you.
You hate you.
Yeah, and
so,
you fear they won't, that they will be like you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And instead of teaching your daughter...
Overcompensate.
Absolutely. And instead of teaching your daughters in a manner of love and honor and respect, it's kind of, sometimes it goes, how do you describe it? Sometimes it goes to a point where you're teaching them from the hatred that you have for yourself, like you just said,
mm-hmm.
instead of teaching them from the love of Yah.
Yes.
As a mother.
Yes, yes, yes. Your harshness is manifest because of your anger you have for
yes.
what you hate in you.
Yes. So why do women hate themselves?
That's a good one. Why do we hate ourselves? We have not yet trained our minds to love.
Mm.
So it is a mental training. because you continue the pattern of how you think all throughout your life. And you receive the negativity so easily.
Yes, because of emotion.
So, yes, because of emotion. Yes. So you have, you know, the correction of your childhood, or the neglect of your childhood, or the abuse of your childhood, and then you have the administration of the word or your husband now, you're still receiving it with that same immaturity and that mind that continues the pattern of thinking that I will never be more than what I am, you know?
And I really believe that, I do believe that part of it is we as women are not made in the image of Yah. We are made in the image
right.
of man.
Very good. That's it. Right
and
there.
It's easier for, I think, I don't want to say easier, but you don't see men responding the way that women respond. They are made in the image of Yah.
And because we compare ourselves to
men,
then we tear ourselves down even further.
Exactly. But we're not at that level or that capacity to, we weren't made in the image of
right.
Yah. We were made in the image of the man.
We will never be.
Ever.
My fight is different. My battle is different. My mind is different.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And you can love yourself if you're able to see you made in the image of your of the man.
So you're saying to me that Pastor is not trying to make us all men?
Absolutely not. He's trying
wait,
to make
wait,
us
wait,
women.
Wait, let me ask again. Hold on, hold on, hold on. You're saying to me Pastor's not trying to make us all men? What?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
Quite the contrary.
Yes.
And you're funny.
The devil's a liar, you know, right? The devil's a liar. Talk to it.
But women forget that they still have Yah's spirit within them.
Yes.
So love his spirit that is within you.
And love that he gave it to you.
Yes. It is a spirit that's in you. You're female, all of these beautiful things, but you're made in the image of man. He took from him to make you. What a blessing. But you still have Yah's spirit within you. So you can't say that I don't love myself, because then you're not loving Yah's spirit that is within you. That's hatred of Yah.
Hatred of Yah. Back to the verse. Likewise, the spirit helps us in our weaknesses.
Yes. Yes.
So that spirit that is of Yah, that you speak of, that is in me, that intercedes for me and for the saints, according to the will of Yah, is his manifested love in me.
Absolutely.
Because he searches my heart.
Yes.
And the mind of the Spirit comes into me with his Spirit. So the mind of the Spirit should be cultivating his mind and his love for me within me. If I seek him for, as you said, search me, know me, try me, mm-hmm. know my thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and then he comes to me with a correction,
yes.
why am I easily getting upset? Why am I, I'm not saying I, because I've matured these things, but this is, you know, the nature of the flesh. Why
yes.
do we carnally receive the chastisement when we ask to be searched?
That one I have not figured out.
Okay, so then you teach me, after all your tenure,
okay,
how you receive his chastisement without rejection.
Know from whom it cometh. It's coming from Yah, whether it be from your husband, whether it be from someone else. If you've asked Yah to search you, and a lot of times you get upset at who it comes through. If it comes from your husband, you're okay with it. I mean, you're not okay with it, but if it comes from pastor, you're all right. Well, that's a false balance.
Because you believe he's a man of Yah, but your man is not the man of Yah.
Well, that would be a respecter of persons if you can't even receive from your own husband.
Okay.
Not speaking of myself, because I have the same person. However, those that do, if their husband tells them something, they don't want to receive that, but they'll receive from Pastor Muir or Pastor Corey or Pastor Dow, there's a false balance. Now, if your husband is trying to really rear you up godly and righteously, why can't you receive from him? Why do you receive it as rejection? Why do you receive it as he doesn't care or he doesn't understand? But someone else that doesn't know you to that magnitude understands?
Wherefore, now let the fear of Yah be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there's no iniquity with the Most High, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. He's not going to receive bribes.
Absolutely.
We do that by nature.
Yes. as women.
Pick who we want to hear, pick who we believe is the man of Yah, pick who is anointed, pick who we want to be a certain way with,
you know,
pick who we want to let our hair out with, pick who. But this is to encourage us and to create self-love, my sisters. Y'all know I'm eating watermelon? I'm eating watermelon. This is to encourage us not to even chastise us, but let the Most High, do whatever he's going to do, right? Let's see. This was in my thoughts this week, loving the children better. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely.
You know, we're in a ministry, Ashley, where we should be so grateful and so thankful for having strong heads of authority over us that don't spare our feelings, because so oftentimes that can change and alter how a man even corrects you, if he corrects you, if he speaks to you. And I'm glad that we're being brought up in a time of strong headship and authority so that we can receive.
You know what? Mother, I have to say this. If we will, and I believe we will, get in our places and manifest the true, you know, humility and nature of Most High Yah's women and daughters, it doesn't take a harsh form of chastisement to reach my spirit. I might look like it because I got a bass tone in my voice or my worldly experience or whatever. But I'm just giving y'all as an example. I know Mother's nature and the holy women that are in my life too. It doesn't take all that to reach us. It doesn't take a lot of what you were just saying, receiving correction from someone. It should sink in and be pretty easy. Maybe a grind to get a nature out of you, of course, but does that make sense?
Yeah.
You don't got to beat us over the head.
No. Even sometimes it's just something subtle, maybe not even directed towards you, but you search yourself in it and you, ooh.
Yes, Jesus.
Yeah. Or you know the thoughts that you've had towards it. You know what's in your inner being. And you know the things that no one else sees, the things that you think Yah doesn't know,
right.
But angels are jotting it down all day long, every day. Those kinds of things. That's the things that you have to really work with and change your mind from so that you can receive with meekness. And if you know that no one's out to hurt you, no one's out to damage you, because that's women's nature is the self-pity route where everybody's out to get us. Everybody's trying to do something to us, and it's just not the case all the time. If you know of people like that in your life, remove them.
If we just could, Mother. If we just, I'm just being funny, y'all. All right, let's go to the inbox. Hold on. How do you apply wisdom in saving yourself and laboring with your sister and knowing when to do which in her time of need to help her grow and righteous balance on my part? So how do you apply wisdom by saving yourself, removing yourself possibly, or even laboring with another sister, knowing when to do which, you know?
Depends on the situation, but I would say first and foremost, consider her as yourself. You can save yourself by considering your sister as yourself. If she's going through something in a certain area and you're able to help her and deal with her, use wisdom in how you do it, when you do it, why you do it, but consider her as you would want to be treated. Would you want to be left alone? There are some times when you do need to back off and leave people alone, but whichever the situation might be, judge the situation first and see how Yah would have you to go in that nature. You can always go to the book. There is a solution for every single thing.
Hallelujah. Next. Bless you, Mother. Thank you for your time. Pastor had a video today titled, Nothing is Going to Change Until You Change. He spoke about repentance. Can you expound on the spirits within the heart and mind that require a greater change of your character? How do you go about confessing these things and articulating them when talking to your deliverance worker when you don't even know how to explain it? Would you go about asking for a new heart during deliverance? I'll put it like this, Mother. Let's say you go to somebody and you can't even explain your own heart. Like, what? Mm-hmm. I can't even. I need help. I'm being in a desperate situation.
Right.
What do I say to you?
I would say, tell us the symptoms. If you have a seasoned worker that can discern what you're trying to say or what you have going on, tell them the symptoms of how you feel, how you react, how you respond when certain things are said. And that will give a seasoned worker clear direction on which way to go for you.
Good. And then let's take it a step further to the next person, let's say, to the seasoned people within the ministry who are going through something with the Most High, that he hasn't set a helper in front of you. Okay? Because that does happen when he's, you know, working not side of you. And I don't mean he hasn't set a helper in front of you, because there's administrations of help all along the way.
Right.
From your husband and the Word and maybe people in your life. But when it comes to you wanting to be desperately free from something, but yet knowing that freedom is not going to happen in a deliverance chair. Can you talk to that?
That's when you need to be on your knees and working through it with Yah. Because you can work through deliverance or spirit with you and the Most High Yah. If your husband is able to help you, and I know not every husband can, I do realize that. Some may not be, may have told you all that they know in deliverance and can't help you any further. So at those times, if you feel like you don't have a person to go to, you can go to authority. Ask your husband, can you go to authority?
You can always pray.
That may go further, and you can always pray. Go to the Most High, because if you really want to change in a certain area, Yah is not going to deny helping you, allowing, letting you know where you need to change, what areas you need to change, what you need to fix. And like I said, it just comes in different ways and different areas, but you have to be sober and keen enough to be able to hear the answer and not be passive.
Hallelujah. Next. Shalom, blessings, Mother, Sister Ashley, thank you for taking the time to read my question. I wanted to know what is the best way to uplift my master and help him while he is dealing with stress and burdens.
First and foremost, pray for your husband. Pray that y'all give him strength. Really, and you, first and foremost, don't be a burden. So you make sure that you are doing everything that you can do to help him to relieve the natural
home environment.
Things, home environment, make it a place of peace, make it a place of solitude when he comes. If he's got a lot on him and he comes home and there's peace in the home, that automatically is going to lighten his load a little bit. If he's dealing with stress in certain areas, if he wants to confide in you, allow him to be able to do that, but keep your mouth shut. Don't go telling what he's told you to someone else, because then he can't trust in you. So his trust in you automatically is going to help relieve some stress from him. Now, I don't believe any godly man is going to dump 20 million things on you that he knows you can't handle. I don't mean that, but be a pillar of strength for him so that that relieves his stress a little bit.
Yes, earn your trust.
Yes.
All right, next part of her email says, sometimes I find myself talking to him about some of my issues when he has enough already on his plate. I admit that sometimes I forget that while he's a strong man, he's still a man that deals with his own struggles. Sometimes I distance myself when I think he wants space, but then it turns out he does want me near. Sometimes I come at the wrong time when he wants to be alone. I know I'm failing him in this area as a helpmeet. No, not failing, learning. Right? Learning. Failing's a harsh word, my sister, you know? You're probably feeling that failure each time you mess up, but this is part of developing a relationship.
That is learning. Well, the word says to know them that labor among you.
Mm-hmm.
So even the more so your husband, your master. Know him. Know when you can go to him, when you can't, when is a good time to speak, how to speak. Learn him. Watch him. Watch his pattern of how he does things. Watch how he deals with stress. Make that environment less stressful. You know, massage his feet. Sometimes if he's in a relaxed state, you might be able to speak with him a little bit more. You know, or don't catch him when you know he's tired. Things like that. Know him. Learn his ways. Learn his patterns. Learn his actions and reactions to things. And that will give you wisdom into how to come to him, when to come to him. But more than anything, pray for your husband, not in an accusing way. You need to know how to pray for your men. You need to pray for strength for them.
Hallelujah. She says she realizes she's selfish. She said, I'll talk to him about what I'm dealing with as a way to relate to him. Is that wrong?
In some instances, absolutely not. He's there. He is. You're his helpmeet. You're the weaker vessel. So naturally, there are going to be things that you need to go to him about. But now you don't want to fill his head with a bunch of foolishness either.
Or sway his mind towards anyone else.
Absolutely. If a sister corrected you on something that you know you were wrong on, and then you go run into your husband about all your displeasure about these things, you're laying a burden on him that is unnecessary when you should have just received the correction.
Right.
So things like that. But if it's something legitimate that you're dealing with within your heart, you should be able to go to your husband, find the right time to do that.
She says, I'm having problems discerning when to just be a silent ear or when to speak the word to him in love.
Okay, you need to increase your discernment. What say you, Ashley?
Yeah, no, that, and I was going to add, Mother, that I believe she's learning everything she needs to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, by the email, your heart's intention.
Absolutely.
Is being made manifest, and errors are going to happen. So I think the Ruach is going to continue to show you how to be a silent ear or when to speak to him in love by the mistakes that you make.
And time and tenure with your master will also teach you a lot of things as well. You can't learn someone in a day, and we want to have the experience of the peace and the soundness of someone that's been married for 60 years when we've been married for 2 days, and it just doesn't work like that.
You know, sometimes you feel old, Mother.
Sometimes.
I'm gonna give you a fun fact that might do that to you again. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Y'all gotta see me and Mother sometimes. You gotta see us in the old shoes. You know, as I said, the old guard. I think I've been here 17 years in July.
Okay.
I got gray hair, and I'm 40. That means I've known my husband 17 years.
Yes.
You feel old?
Yeah.
You remember me in my 20s?
Yes.
You do?
I should forget those things.
You should forget those.
Ashley, probably.
That's some tenure, that's all I'm saying.
I've watched.
17 years.
I think you grow by leaps and bounds probably greater than, and make more changes next to pastor probably than anyone I've ever seen.
Wow. Hallelujah. That actually is saying that I had that much changes to make, my sister. don't even think it's any other way. I literally had that many changes to make, y'all.
But what a testimony of Yah. If you were already perfect, what would Yah have needed?
I'm actually trying to beat everybody into the kingdom. Did you know that? I'm in my lane just running, y'all. Right beside of you. Okay, let's go to Block Talk. Look at Wenda. She says, so grateful for that mercy. That was earlier when you were speaking of Yah's mercy. I had to bring up Wenda's name because that's your sister right there.
That's my sister.
All right, let's hit a ministry break. Sakina, please play a ministry break for us. We'll be right back. We got some emails to answer. I hope you're enjoying Mother's voice. I always do. Shalom. Be right back.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the live stream that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth Ministry. We try to make sure we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Straight Way Truth Ministry, 544 West Main Street, number 241, Gallatin, Tennessee, 37066. Gallatin is spelled Gallatin. Again, our mailing address is Straight Way Truth Ministry, 544 West Main Street, number 241, Gallatin, Tennessee, 37066. If you would like to send a personal note to Pastor Charles Dowell, just add the letters C/O in front of the word Straightway, and your letter will go directly to him. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do everything we can to return your message. And if you would like to know more about our healing, deliverance, and truth ministry, keep up to date on events, or find a home fellowship closest to you, please visit our website at straightway.com. That's spelled straightway.com. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Shalom, the King is coming. You're back live. Hallelujah. I'm Sister to Sister Broadcast. We broadcast weekly. Like I said in the beginning of the show, if you miss us live, you can catch us. Hallelujah. You can catch us on blogtalkradio.com/straightway every Thursday night, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. We appreciate you so much. I am just like you. I am a woman, a mother, friend. I am a saint. I live on the community. And I wake up like you. I try to work like you. I try to pray like you. I try to love my husband like you. We're all in this together. Mother Carol is beside me tonight, and she is just a helper of my faith, like some of you and many of you are. And I know that Yah has given each of you helpers in your faith, and I worship him and I thank him for that. Everyone along the way has been instrumental in my life. We're back with Mother Carol, willing to answer questions. What are you reading during the break, Mother?
Mama Deidre, when we were at Passover, mentioned a book of Shemaim, a book of the heavens, and I immediately got it because, you know, of course, if I hear of a book like that, I'm going to get it. And I've really been enjoying some of the accounts in this book. Of course, with anything, you know, I'm going to make sure that it lines up with the word. So I don't want to say you have to go get this, but there is an account of the vision of Paul, and he was asking the Father to allow him to see asking the angel to allow him to see the just and the unjust when they pass away. And I know we speak a lot about, I'm not going to say negative things, but we pound and pound on how to become right and how to become perfect in this ministry. And you know, just for a word of encouragement, I was going to have you read it, actually, if you didn't mind.
Sure.
Now, it'll start here,
all right,
kind of long, and then go to here. But it's
all right,
very impactful, knowing how the just are going to enter into the kingdom.
Hallelujah. The vision of Paul. Page 27, Sister Alex. Is that chapter 14?
Yeah.
All right. I indeed, when I had heard this, sighed and wept and said to the angel, I wish to see the souls of the just and of sinners, and to see in what manner they go out of the body. And the angel answered and said unto me, look again upon the earth. And I looked and saw all the world and men were as naught, and they were wanting. And I looked carefully, and I saw a certain man about to die. And the angel said to me, this one whom you see is a just man. I looked again and saw all his works, whatever he had done for the sake of Elohim's name, all his desires, both what he remembered and what he did not remember, they all stood in his sight in the hour of need. And I saw the just man advance and find refreshment and confidence. And before he went out of this world, the holy and the impious angels both attended, and I saw them all. But the impious found no place. Sakina, post the meaning of impious, if I'm saying it correctly, I-M-P-I-O-U-S. The impious angels found no place of habitation in him, but the holy took possession of his soul, guiding it till it went out of the body. They roused the soul, saying, soul, know your body from where you go out, for it is necessary that you should return to the same body on the day of resurrection, that you may receive the things promised to all the just. Receiving therefore the soul from the body, they immediately kissed it as familiar known to them, saying to it, do manfully for you have done the will of Elohim while placed in the earth. And there came to meet him the angel who watched him every day and said to him, do manfully so, for I rejoice in you because you have done the will of Elohim on earth, for I related to Elohim all your works such as they were. Similarly, also, the Ruach proceeded to meet him and said, soul, fear not, nor be disturbed, until you come into a place which you have never known. For I will be a helper unto you, for I've found in you a place of refreshment in the time when I dwelt in you while I was on earth. And his Ruach strengthened him, and his angel received him and led him into heaven. And an angel said, where do you run, O soul? Do you dare enter into heaven? Wait, let us see if there's anything of ours in you. Behold, we find nothing in you. I see also your divine helper and angel, and the Ruach is rejoicing along with you because you have done the will of Elohim on earth. And they led him along till he should worship in the sight of Elohim. And when they had ceased, immediately Michael and all the army of angels with one voice adorned the footstool of his feet and his doom, saying at the same time to his soul, this is your Elohim of all things who made you in his own image and likeness. Moreover, the angel returns and points him out, saying, Elohim, remember his labors, for this is the soul whose works are related to you, doing according to your judgment. And the Ruach said, likewise, I am the Ruach of vivification, inspiring him, for I had refreshment in him, in the time when I dwelt in him, doing according to your judgment. And there came the voice of Elohim and said, inasmuch as this man did not vex me, neither will I vex him. For according as he had pity, I also will have pity. Let him therefore be handed over to Michael, the angel of the covenant, and let him lead him into the paradise of joy, that he himself may become co-heir with all the Kodeshim. And after these things, I heard the voices of 1,000 angels and archangels and 24 elders saying hymns and glorifying Yahweh and crying, you are just, O Yahweh. Just are your judgments. There's no acceptance of persons with you.
Hallelujah.
But you reward unto every man according to your judgment. And the angel answered and said unto me, have you believed and known that whatsoever each one of you has done, he sees in the hour of need? And I said, yes, sir. The vision of Paul.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful. A few things that I just wanted to touch on because I've been going through this. But it did say that what he remembered and what he did not remember in his did you catch that part? You know, we think Yah is sitting up on his throne just there to condemn us, and he's not. He is a loving father, great and powerful, and we can't even fathom his power and his greatness, but he's also very merciful, and he's not sitting there. It is no desire in him to try to condemn us to a burning hell. He desires for us to be with him. And if we cannot vex the angel that is assigned to us by our justness, by our righteousness, the angel found refreshment in him. And I think that was a beautiful thing. He found refreshment. Just like spirits can find a home in you, an angel can find refreshment in you if you allow it. If you allow him to do so. So your thoughts, praying in the Holy Spirit, just even laying on your bed and just meditating on Yah. He said, think on these things. Well, what are you supposed to think on? Whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is good, what's just, all these things. Well, whatever that is in Yah to you, think on those things. And the more you do that, the more you won't get consumed with the thoughts that you deal with that are contrary to Yah. Those thoughts become less and less and less. And then when a thought does come, you have the strength because you've not been fighting and stopping traffic every 5 minutes. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. I had peace. What's going on? So getting a hold of the thoughts, the way to do that is to consume the thoughts with the Most High Yah.
Beautiful. It is going to take some time and diligent effort,
yes,
my sister, to get you off your mind.
Yes.
So you're speaking to a tenured mother who is, her thoughts are far advanced and in the early stages of growth and development, they consume with you.
You really, really are. So you got to press to get self off your mind and move past self to think like the Father thinks for everyone,
yeah,
not just you. All right, shalom and blessings, Mother Carol, Mom Ashley. Something that has been very helpful is listening to how to speak against condemning thoughts. Mother Jennifer said how she thanks the Father for being forgiven of those things. What are some other phrases that we can use to battle in our mind? Hope that makes sense. All right, phrases. What's some phrases that you use to battle in your mind?
Well, not just phrases, but like I just said, thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Think I'm a visualist. So I visualize what I want to be thinking on.
Yes.
I visualize what brings peace to my mind. And that helps to battle the thoughts. If I get a bad thought, after the rebuke, I'm going to hit it with the word and then put my mind right back on thoughts of peace and thoughts of Yah.
Yes.
But phrases of what I can
Man,
say
if I, yeah,
or...
If I can think of your phrases, you got them. Maybe they'll come up, Father.
Maybe they'll come up. I'm trying to...
Like
rebuking phrases.
Yeah,
you know.
Like your phrases would be, like she just said, Mother Jennifer said, I thank the Father for forgiving me of those things.
Mm-hmm.
She'll say that. Like
right.
It's a pattern
okay.
of how
okay.
she will speak, you know. So maybe it'll come up, but I say to myself, I'm the only one thinking this way. And when you do that, like...
Good or bad.
And when you don't want that mm-hmm. thought, you're the only one in the entire crowd thinking it.
Right.
So, like,
right.
don't get consumed by that thought or don't get consumed by, I'm trying to help them and reach them. Like,
right.
you know, you're the only one thinking that way, so think another way, you know? I'm meaning more, I guess, along the bad lines. If something comes that shouldn't be thought. It's like,
right.
no, I'm not going to own that, you know what I mean? I'm not going to believe that. Another one is, it's not the words of a rebuke, it's the effect of it.
Yes.
And so, you know, as a woman, you might want to dissect all the words of a rebuke. But if you just let it have its impact of chastisement and discipline over your life, then you won't hold on to the words that hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll let the impact of the chastisement do its perfect work in you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, oh, man, he said this, you know, I should have done it. And the words of, you know, your husband or whoever brought forth this rebuke, those words will try to condemn you. It's the carnal nature of your mind, you know, try to condemn you, try to make you feel a certain way, try to, you know, attach itself to you. But if you let the chastisement or the rebuke mold you in love, you won't be hinged on those words. So it's not the words, it's the effect. That's another phrase.
And why is it, Sister Ashley, that we always remember the supposed negative words, but what about all the positive words that are said to us? They hardly ever come to the memory unless you allow it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we're born in sin, shape, and iniquity,
yeah.
and so is our entire society, and we have spent our lives cultivating these words in our minds. It's what we speak. It takes great effort, my sisters, to become someone that wants to be an encourager to someone else and get out of yourself, you know. And so I think it's the fruit of selfishness. Negativity is the fruit of selfishness.
Well, one way that you can combat is to try to recall good things that have been said from that same person, whether it be
right.
a husband or a sister.
Absolutely.
So when you get those negative thoughts or that thought comes to you about something that they've said, try to stir up something positive that they have said to you, because I'm sure they have. You know, that sister may have said a kind word to you and may have 20 times, but you're going to remember the one negative thing that has been said to you. But if you can flip that and let that positivity always come forth, then you can kind of battle that thought in that manner as well.
Right. I liked, Pastor had recently said, you know, that women are more, men think on the future,
yes.
and women are more in the here and now.
Yes.
That's a phrase, I take those type of things and I apply them because I'm like, I'm going to think about the future then.
Right.
Right? Because if I think about the future, think like the future, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to see how my husband does it. How does what Pastor just said manifest in my husband? Then when I find it, and it's there, and that is how his mind is, and that is how he thinks, and he is very progressive and moving towards a positive vision.
He's not stuck in the here and now and how he feels and how we feel and anything mm-hmm. that's happening, mm-hmm. right? It's always onward going. So you find it, you find how he does it, and then you walk in that. You walk in the same positivity and encouragement and that same futuristic mindset that your husband has. So anyway, take the phrase, put it in action, move into the next email. That's a good question. Oh, no, I'm not. She says her master's daughter has a question. A few weeks ago, I listened to a sister-to-sister called Love where Granny Diane spoke about romantic love, and it reminded her of a sister-to-sister called Arrested Development where Sister Ashley spoke about the Cinderella spirit. Can you speak to the similarities between romantic love and Arrested Development? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to save that for another show. That is deep, all right? That is a very good question. I'm writing it down, okay? I'm writing it down. And anyone who has ever had great questions or great ideas for the show, they might go on the bookshelf. Like, I have a sister who wrote an email months ago that I asked her to write, and I'm holding on to it for just when it fits, when it's right, you know? So I will also do that for that question. It's very good. All right. Shalom. Do women carry guilt in their conscience because what happened in the garden, and it manifests every time shepherd or pastor Dow addresses it? Do women carry guilt in their conscience because from the original sin in the garden with Eve and her mind and how she was, and she had a blame nature. We know that.
Right. I think we accept that she was, you know, she's the mother to us all.
Mm-hmm.
However, not a guilt in a condemnation form, but knowing what we are as women, that we are the weaker vessel. So I think I look at my mother Eve as in an acceptance, as I wouldn't have done anything different probably.
Right. So do you believe that we are carrying out the results of our actions by combating the guilt in our conscience and our negative natures?
I believe this generation is 100 times worse than... I'm just being real. I believe
y'all have
our
oh
thoughts and the way that we process are 100 times worse than what Eve may have ever dealt with. She was dealing with Satan himself, you know, as a serpent. We deal with the spirit and we can't even handle it as a whole.
Right.
So on a scale, she was, you know, she had a greater challenge.
So possibly not a result of what she did so much as it is us all fighting the same thing. The same kingdom,
Yah spoke what we were going to face because of Eve's sin.
Yes.
And of course, we are facing that to this day.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Bless you, Mother Carol, Sister Ashley. I have a question in regards to deliverance. I've been praying to Yah for deliverance, and as I've been seeking the Father, I've been hit with spiritual attacks of condemnation, guilt, shame, anxiety, and daily I'm reminded of my past. It seems as when I reflect on the past, only negative experiences and thoughts come to mind as if no positive experience is there. I've been fasting and praying, and the more that I do so, the more the condemnation, guilt, anxiety, and shame come. How do I overcome this? I want to be set free. I want to be delivered so that I can walk in freedom and peace and know the Father wants this for me.
You have to know that and believe, truly believe that the Father has forgiven you. You can agree quickly with your adversary when he comes to you with thoughts like that. Yep, if he says you were this, you were a liar, you were a cheat, you were a whore or whatever, that spirit tells you, yes, I was. And look at the overcoming power of Yah. So if you overcome negativity with positivity, you will talk yourself out of that condemnation spirit. If you're not the same person that you were, yes, there may have been things in your life that have taken place that were astronomical in your mind. But Yah, if you've truly been forgiven, Yah's power is greater. His forgiveness is greater than anything that you can muster up in your condemnation. So really believing that the Most High has forgiven you is the first step. And really believing his word, that he says he will throw it off into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember again. That has to be a knowing of faith and belief and truth. If you truly believe that, then condemnation won't be allowed to walk within you. So agree with your adversary. Yep, I was that, but now I am not. I am set free and delivered. Look at the power of Yah. And hallelujah. I know it sounds, I make it sound easy, but you will get to that point where you won't allow Satan all that place within you. You'll get that way by spending more time with the Father.
Yes.
In the spirit of your mind. Yes, I know you've got children. I know you're busy during the day. You're taking care of your master. You're cooking. You're cleaning. But I hear so many daughters of Zion saying, well, I don't have time to spend with Yah. Spend time with him all day long. That's why he said, think on these things. Control your thoughts. Keep his spirit within you. Keep your mind focused on him, and you are spending time with him all day, and you'll see your growth from there.
Yes, I think that's a huge key factor, having your mind on him in your correction to your child, in your teaching of your child, in your stirring of the pot. Having your mind on him is going to be more pleasing for you, because you may not, as you said, have the hours to be on your face or your knees. But I tell you what, I've never heard anybody, Father, correct me if I'm wrong, no one has ever come to me and said they don't have time. Maybe it's because y'all know I make time. Maybe y'all know that I have never not made time for the Most High Yah. No amount of, so far, no amount of any child or any stewardships, any community, any relationship, any whatever, sickness, marriage, you got it all right here. I will not neglect my responsibility. It is like a command for my soul. That's what I feel like. I'm in desperate need of him in every way. And I hope that this condemnation, guilt, anxiety, and shame that you have on you is going to lead you to that desperate place. Like, how long do you want it? How long do you want to walk in that great need? You know, I think about the Father and how much he has to get through to reach us.
Yes.
And the last thing you want to have on your lips is, I didn't make no time.
And, you know, Yah is not just in your prayer closet.
Right.
Or when you're singing a song. You take him with you. You don't leave him in your bedroom where you prayed that morning. You take him with you everywhere you go. And the more time and the more you focus on him, that is how you feed your subconscious mind.
Yes.
So when your subconscious mind gets fed, that's how you can fight against demons in your dreams. That's how you can take authority over that part of you. And your subconscious mind will always kick into Yah the more you feed your spirit, the more you receive words of life from your husband or from those that are over you. The more you do that and the more you just focus on what you're supposed to be focusing on, your role, doing what you're supposed to do and keeping him at the forefront of that, you're feeding your subconscious mind. So then that way your subconscious mind can kick in on Yah when you need it.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
Yes, I hope so. I think so. I think it's just helping her to, you know, retrain.
Yes, retrain.
You know, when you listen to people who maybe have tenure, or you see other people who have had these experiences, it is to be able to strengthen and help you. And it's to not to take the work away from you, you know, not to take the experience away from you or the requirement away from you. You got to work through the same things that we work through to get this peace. Hallelujah. And go ahead.
And people wonder how you get to that point. Watch those or talk to those that you see that have it. I learned from my husband. I learned from Pastor that because Yah is with him all the time. He's with him everywhere he goes. And in that, it taught me how to keep my mind focused on Yah all the time. And that brings the peace. So we can be just, you know, sitting in a room and both of us are just focusing on the Most High.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Something might come out. He might have something to say. I might have something to say. He might not have anything to say. And that's still fine. But focusing on the Most High, I was taught by Pastor Dell.
Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. The lessons from our husband.
Yes.
Endless. All right. So how do you truly want for your sister what you want for yourself?
Well, ask yourself what you want for yourself. In every situation, how would I want to be treated? How would I want to be talked to? How would I want to be dealt with? That's really easy to ask in a polygyny situation. Put yourself in that person's shoes. If you are the supposed first wife, principal wife, whatever you refer it to as, put yourself in the mind or the thoughts of someone coming in. What I did at the beginning is I went and asked sisters that were coming into a marriage as a second wife, how did you feel? How did you feel? How did you feel? I was actually shocked at the answers. And it gave me a greater understanding of getting out of myself, because we're selfish by nature.
Right.
And trying to see what thoughts women in that position have, and that helps you to be able to deal with your own thoughts.
Absolutely.
And your own selfishness. So ask someone, ask or search yourself and see if you would want someone to treat you the way you're treating them, if you would want someone to talk to you the way you're talking to them. In any aspect, whatever you're dealing with, it doesn't just have to even be something negative. If somebody's really good to you, it automatically wants you to be good back to someone else.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a tool and a weapon of our warfare.
Yes.
But not carnal, as you suppose, right? But mighty, pulling down strongholds. When you do put someone else above yourself within
yes.
your heart, no matter what anyone else may see your outward look like, experience,
mm-hmm.
when Yah sees that in your heart, He will move mountains for you and set you free.
He will. And when he sees it in purity.
Yes, in purity. That you truly do just want someone else to receive, to be blessed, or the request to be heard, the prayer to be heard.
Yeah.
All that, their answers, their healing, whatever their needs are.
Absolutely.
Holly, let's go to next one. It says, I remember a blog talk when Shepherd was speaking on mastering your spirit, having self-control. He mentioned only a handful of people at the time. Ashley, which is me, mother, Carol, teacher Shay, pastor himself, she says, haha. But my question for you both is, how do you master your spirit of self-control, especially through adversity? How do you, or how did you get, you know, self-control through adversity?
Everything goes back to the mind.
Mm-hmm.
How you receive things in the mind. You know, women are very quick to speak the first thing on their mind. You have to really practice not doing that.
Behind closed doors.
Absolutely. With your husband.
Right.
That's, you know, because it's easy to
yeah.
say master
yeah.
out in front of everybody and make the whole world think that you're very submissive, but that man knows.
Mm-hmm.
But not only him, Yah does.
Right. Absolutely.
If your husband sees it, you know Yah knows what's
yeah.
going on. You can't hide. You can't run from it. But mastering your thoughts, mastering when you receive correction from your husband or things like that, see, work on how you deal with things, and in that you'll gain little ounces of just try to master self-control in one area and then grow from that. Don't let everything affect you. Don't wear your feelings on your sleeves, and everything everyone says to you is the whole world's coming to an end. It's just not the case. But master at least one area of self-control. If it's that you talk too much, shut your mouth sometimes. Allow yourself to be heard. Now, don't do it in a negative personality, though, because that happens too. I'm just not going to say anything. And then you walk around like that, and that's also a spirit. Yah sees that as well. So master one area of self-control, whether it be, it can even be something natural. One of the best ways is fasting. Because you have to have self-control to be able to fast.
Yes.
You can't go get that piece of cookie or cracker or drink the soda that you probably would otherwise. Well, hopefully we're not doing that. But practice self-control in small areas that you are able to do and master those things, and it will become a whole part of you.
Speaking of phrases, I have this. You know, I'm trying to put my mind into phrases, too, but I do have this phrase that's like, no one is deserving of my flesh.
Mm,
no
good.
One. I've had that for years. That does
that's
not
really
mean
good.
That you won't see it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that, you know, I don't have it by any means, because I'm in the same fight as you guys are. But it makes me, you know, chiefly at home with my husband, he's not deserving of my flesh or,
mm-hmm.
or any carnality, period. My children are not. No one's child. That's a big one for all of us. No one's child is deserving of our carnality.
Absolutely.
Right? And so the more that you get out of yourself every time you're around someone else, which is living with the saints, that's
mm-hmm.
really what has grounded us and
oh,
made
yeah.
us any mastery over any self-control. But misrepresenting Yah is very, very serious to me. It doesn't mean I haven't done it, and it doesn't mean I won't, but misrepresenting him, meaning getting in your flesh and not, you know, walking in the spirit, is very serious to me. Like, it does set forth stumbling blocks to people. It does, and I have, you know, it does put stumbling blocks to children. So when you get out of his nature and you get in your own, it's very serious. But I can only say that I credit that to much, much prayer. Because I do have flesh, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And the only way that I can grind it
is to stay on my face and on my knees, you know, like, because no one's deserving of me, you know, coming out and manifesting that.
I thought of a phrase.
Go ahead. See, hallelujah.
You know I would. I speak it to sisters all the time, and I say it to myself if my thoughts ever try to come out of pocket. And it's, your personality doesn't give you an excuse to not line up with what the book says or to go outside of the book.
Yes, your personality. Yeah, I've heard you say that.
Yeah.
See? You might have a few.
I tell myself that in my
heart. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Next. Shalom, I'd like to... here we go. Hold on. How can you develop a friendship with a sister without feeling like it's forced? Not really sure if she means, like, she don't want to force herself on someone else or someone else forcing themselves on her, but how can you develop a friendship? Friendship's a big word, because why can't we just have peace, mm-hmm. regardless of our hours together, mm-hmm. our similarities? Mm-hmm. It's just that it's peace. It's more like, here's the question. How can you develop peace with any sister without feeling forced?
Well, love.
Yes.
It's just flat-out love. And there should be love and peace and sisterhood and friendship among all of us. Now, there may be some that you're closer to than others by reason of living close to each other, or you just, something just clicked and you have, or you've been together for a long time. But love is the basis of every friendship. So love your sisters, and friendships will come. I had another thought, but I think it went. Shoo.
Hallelujah. That's another phrase. Now, shoo. You do that. You know what? Also, my sisters, I don't know if it'll help you, but, you know, James has said if you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of them all. And if you find your guilt in the area of your hate towards someone else, if you find your guilt in that area, you will start producing love. And I mean with a genuineness, you know, if there's something that I despise about Mother Carol, then let me find my guilt in that area. And that will, you know, uncover rocks, you know, and really dig deep and go, oh, yeah, I'm just like that in this area. That's why I hate. That's why I despise. And let me get past this. Don't know if that helps, but, you know, because sometimes you can get stuck in the feeling of how you are towards someone else, and to get out of being stuck, you know, like, I just can't stand, just can't, we just grind, whatever you got going on, to get past that, find your guilt, like, really, the reason that Yah's manifested mercy is all over all of us, is I have the same guilt. There's nothing anyone has done on this land that I haven't done. Like, right, nothing, right. You know? Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead, Mother.
And I think on the friendship thing, you know, we have, the world taught us you have to have a best friend. What do they call it, a BSS? Is that the friend thing now?
Oh, yeah. Back in the day that was, Mother. That's like, maybe when I was in high school, Mother.
Oh, okay. Because that's
you
a new
would find
term.
That written on the walls, BSS.
Oh,
I'm not
and
sure
what does
if
that
do
mean?
Anymore. It would be something totally different now, I'm sure.
It doesn't mean a best friend?
I don't know.
Best friend forever.
Oh,
oh,
thank you,
even
Judith.
Judith.
Thank
knows.
You. Okay,
please.
Judith. So, and that's good. If you have somebody that you have bound with that is your friend, like Judith and Lakely. Y'all are best friends, right? That's beautiful. If it's impurity, if it doesn't taint your judgment towards others, if you can literally talk to each other openly and honestly, you understand, instead of defending your best friend and things like that. But friendships should be all across this ministry. There's not a sister that we should not have a friendship with. If, you know, like I said, sometimes geographical locations might keep you. But some of my sisters that I really consider friends, I don't even get to talk to them that much. So it's not a time. It's not a tenure. It's a, I love all my sisters. This one?
Right.
I love your spirit. I love the spirit that you manifest.
Right.
So we might be friends.
Right.
I might not even talk to you on the phone. I might not do all those things that the world had us do, but it doesn't make you not friends. That was what I was getting at.
Right. Brotherly love.
Brotherly love. Absolutely.
Shalom and blessings, Mother Carol, Sister Ashley. It's so good to hear from you once again. What would you say to single sisters who don't have a father figure covering them? How do I find a proper balance between knowing that I am covered in the ministry, even though I don't want to feel like I'm screwed up because I don't have someone leading and guiding me physically in the right direction?
just receiving the voice properly.
You, every woman in this ministry has covering over her. Every woman. I just heard Pastor mention it the other day. He said every woman has a covering. If you're in a community and you're not married, that head of the community, whether it be that elder, that pastor, they're not your head as far as a wife, but they are your head over you. They're the ones that you submit your authority to and all those things. So I don't want single sisters thinking that they're out there just with nothing. If you are a single sister that is in an area that is not in like a community setting or a homestead setting, then find the elder or someone that is closest to your area or that you bond with some of the people in that area, and then that elder becomes your authority over you. If you're, you know, in communication with them and you're fellowshipping when you can or something like that. So I don't want sisters to think that they don't have a covering. Are there going to be times when everything you have going on in your head you're going to be able to express to that elder? Absolutely not. You take weightier matters to one of them, or you call an elder in the ministry, or you call a deacon or someone, but you are protected in this ministry. You are not left out there to yourself. Sister Ashley?
I wrote a few thoughts down because I didn't want to forget, because there's so many people that could be blessed. That was a good answer.
Yeah.
Very good answer, Mother. And majority of women didn't know that they needed a covering.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when it's said, now you can feel defrauded.
Right.
Or now you can feel like you need something that you don't have.
Right, right.
When before, or even 5 minutes before the statement entered your ears, it was not even a thought.
Right.
This is Satan's practice. This is what he does. He plays off the mind on how you hear. So if I'm enjoying a message and I hear this for the first time, or if I hear it redundantly, if I hear every leader say it for a month, now I can have that weakness in my spirit because I'm far out there and because I don't know anyone or I don't really know how that works, that whole covering works. When I hear them speak it, I can, you know, it's in a wife's nature to go, I'm not getting the time that I want. I'm not getting the covering that I want. I need this, a little bit more of that, a little bit, you know, it's really selfish. So you can start having those thoughts about yourself, like you're missing out on something. So just want to introduce that into your mind so that you properly hear how a covering is manifest. We are gaining your trust. You are gaining ours. And you are learning the Messiah. So in this covenant agreement and walking it out, the covering exists, whether you see it or not.
Spiritually.
Spiritually.
That's what I was going to say next.
Yes. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, please do.
I think we focus on the physical covering and not the fact that we are covered in this ministry.
Yes.
Every woman in this ministry is covered like the man of Yah said. So we're looking so much for this one thing after the flesh, the nature of a woman, because that's how we see. But knowing that you are covered is the greatest gift.
It's the knowing.
Yes.
But even if man did wrong, woman did wrong, or someone around you did wrong, the covering still exists.
The covering is still there. Yes. The covering is there.
Yes. So it's a belief. It takes a lot of faith to produce within your own spirit, knowing that covering exists, because the first thing that happens that you want the covering to manifest the way that you want it to and it doesn't, then you think the covering is gone.
Right.
No, the covering is not gone.
And a lot of the single sisters, you can get answers for most of the stuff that you're going through from aged women in this ministry. You can call and ask for someone, or someone might pop up in your spirit that you want to speak with. And a lot of those times, you have coverings over you, but you also have spiritual mothers. You also have spiritual sisters.
So bring the balance, because Pastor had mentioned, I don't know, months ago, and I don't want to be the guy that says, I remember all his words. You know, I'm not that guy. It's like, gosh,
I did.
Yeah. No, he said women can't lead women.
Right, that's not leading.
Right, so
absolutely.
Talk to us, because it's very, like, if you interpret that wrong, you won't seek the help that you need from another woman, because, women can't lead women.
It's just
my husband only.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Women are there to nurture.
Yeah.
What does the word says? That the aged
women
should
teach
the younger
yes.
how to love their husbands, love their children, guide the house, but then we forget that those scriptures are there. So the aged women are there to teach you. That teaching does not mean they're leading you, does not mean they're controlling or anything like that. They're just there to help assist you in the way because they're experienced. They've been through the things that you've been through. So there's nothing wrong with getting counseling or getting some instruction from a woman that is seasoned and sound in this that's going to give you wise, sound counseling.
Hallelujah.
And that sometimes can help you when you don't feel like, or to those that are not married, even though they are covered, to help you get through some of your struggles and your issues.
Hallelujah. Next question. Hallelujah. See, that's why I get a text from there's a couple of people you can really rely on catching pastor's words and catching them with the true intent. But she said, Shepherd said that women aren't allowed to lead anything due to emotions and feelings.
Right.
All right. Can you please give wisdom to the daughters of Zion, young and old, about ways that we can be more efficient with our time? What are some things that we need to focus on more? So, more on as we are growing as young daughters and maidens to become wives someday, and as a mother, learning how to balance time so we could learn and become more like women in the book, like the wise women who build their husband's home. More efficient time.
I look at, sometimes you look at old movies and things like that, and you see where the women got up early and they went and fetched the water and they cooked the meals, and I don't mean just took something out of the freezer and thawed it the night before. I mean, they killed the chicken and did that, plucked it, did all these things. And those women still made plenty of time to get everything done. Yes, they were the first ones up and the last ones to go to bed, which some of us experienced that in the world, But, however, and I think now and the way we live, we are very blessed.
Yes, I'll say blessed. Don't spare us in the truth.
Well, the work is nowhere near
like that woman you just talked about.
Like that woman I just mentioned. Or like it is beginning a community from the very beginning, 25 years ago or how many ever, or even if you're doing it now, one month ago. What I see a lot is so much running around, focusing on everything that you have to do, that you're like a hamster in a cage, and you're just doing all this spinning and nothing gets done, instead of just taking your time and balancing out, okay, I need to get this done today.
And complete it.
And get it done. But especially when you get a lot of women together, if all of you are talking and you can't work and talk at the same time, you're wasting time. Get done so that you can go and take care of your husband, tend to, the things that he needs. Get done with all of those tedious things like the dishes and all of these things. But you can have so much more time if you're not running around like a hamster saying, I don't have time. Does that make sense?
Yes, I do believe it. And this is personal opinion, y'all. I do believe it's our emotional state and the overwhelmed thoughts that are flooding your mind that you are needing to unload. And that unload could be prayer, unload, crying out, or whatever. The shedding your thoughts is going to make you more capable and more productive as a woman. The thoughts are weighing you down, and they're also, they're delegating how you function in your flesh, basically. So they're going to be the reason you respond the way you do or not, how you train your child or not, how you respond in anger or not. Like, your thought is your drive. Always go back to the mind, right?
Right. It all goes back to the mind because the overwhelmed spirit that you hear of now, and I'm not saying it's a spirit, and I don't want to need everybody going and needing to get deliverance for this particular spirit, but I'm just saying this overwhelmedness. When we first built this community, when the men first started and built this community and we assisted along the way, we didn't even have time to say we were overwhelmed. Was not even a word in our vocabulary. You did what you had to do and you kept it moving. So now I see women with very little that get overwhelmed. So that tells me it's the mental state.
It's the state
of what you can handle. You see some people that have a greater pain tolerance, mm-hmm, in certain areas. Some people can, be hurt, cut the finger off or something, and they just keep it moving. You know what I mean? Things like that. So I see that same kind of thing with people that get a very little, but they get really overwhelmed. And that little is a lot to them.
Absolutely.
That, it might be that one thing. So I don't want to I'm not being insensitive, and I don't take it lightly.
Right.
I think it's something that you have to work on your spirit and your nature from.
Yes.
Because none of us know what it's like to be overwhelmed. We don't.
Right.
We're not running from cave to cave trying to worship the Most High in secret or any of these things. You
right.
know what I mean? Having to fend for our every crumb of morsel of bread. We don't even know. And those times may come.
Right.
We don't know. But our minds have to be prepared and ready now for whatever the Father might have us to face to get us ready for His kingdom.
Yes.
So I think
it's a nature. I was listening to a woman's testimony, a Christian, mm-hmm. a believer in China, and she was taken from her classroom. She was a kindergarten teacher, and because she had kindergarten lessons and school lessons that she, you know, printed and made for her students, which were like obey your mother and father, mm-hmm. those type of things, she was arrested, and she was taken to jail. She spent years in jail. Mm-hmm. She was taken from, she had a three-year-old, she had a one-year-old, okay? So she was taken from her husband, her three-year-old, her one-year-old, and put in jail, and she lived with murderers, and she lived with gang, you know, rapists, and, you know, that type of mindset. But I don't know why that comes to my mind when you speak, but it's just taking you from her state of mind and where she was at as a kindergarten teacher and literally shoving her mm-hmm. into a penitentiary for years, mm-hmm. and that mind mm-hmm. would really be, I don't know, that's a difficult circumstance. Just like, I reflect on slavery as much as I can, you mm-hmm. know, to the people who may have experienced it so many years ago and the strength that they had to have in their mind to
yeah.
and the capabilities to submit themselves to something that wasn't right. But at the same time, we need a lot of freedom and just admitting your mental state to the Father, mm-hmm. you know, admitting your, it's actually, there's a lot of mental illness that's undiagnosed, and that is really, truly the case.
Yeah.
I know that, I mean, just imagine, even when your body's sick, for example, doing one thing is a burden. It's
yeah.
Like you're
laborous.
Drained, laborious. Yeah, your flesh, you know, maybe you have the flu or some common cold or something that your body can't produce what it's usually capable of. So that's just one example of what can happen when you're mentally ill and you're mentally sick and you have and you have a outward, like everything is okay, but you have your, I don't know, you're just mentally sick in a way that, I don't know, maybe we have a lot of pride that we don't want to admit that, but it really is the case because some of this stuff needs to be natural for us as women, you know, our capabilities, our strengths, and we're not all the same by any means, but being overwhelmed or having what we need to do and to accomplish it is not, it's not too much. Yah is not giving you too much.
Yeah.
All right, so I think we spoke on that. Hallelujah. All right, hallelujah. She says, I teach my daughters here, if their hands can't work while their mouth is speaking, then I don't listen to them, and they need to stop speaking. Hallelujah. That's a good concrete lesson for her. If
hallelujah.
You cannot work and speak at the same time, I say that to the bellboys too, stop talking. Not all the time, because you'll hear them talk all the time, too. Now, it's all about training, but it is a good phrase. Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
All right. Let's go to a phone call. Let's see if you really meant. You know what? Area code 917, the past few weeks we've been calling area codes, and it was just accidental pressing ones. So I'm going to call your area code for a few times. 917, we're going to hear a song, and when we come back, we're going to answer your call. If you meant to call us and press 1 and hear from Mother Carol, then you stay right there in the queue and we'll be right back. Listen through your phone, not your speakers. And if you didn't mean to, hang up and call back. And don't press 1 so that you won't be in my queue. We'll be right back.
I love the king.
Hallelujah. Thank y'all so much for tuning in tonight, me and Mother Carol. We go way back, huh, Mother?
Way back.
Way back.
You're getting old, Ashley.
I'm getting old, Hallelujah. And I don't mind it. Hallelujah. If I flip the table, dear.
Not there, but growing.
Right, right. Yes,
but,
growing.
You know, growing older is a beautiful thing. I know that the world looks at it as negativity, and women don't want to age, and they Botox and all of these things. But I am thankful for every gray hair.
You know what I've always wanted? I know you are. Y'all, I'm being vulnerable here. I really want a bunch of aged men that are holy. Y'all,
absolutely.
You know, we had a few early years, and it makes a big difference, you know, and age women. Everyone, every single person, age, child. Look at Judith behind me. Judith, tell everybody how old you are.
9.
When are you 10, Judith? Because it really matters.
About in 11 more months.
11 more months. You mean you just turned 9? Wait a second.
In March.
Wow. So, yeah, okay, you're like 1 year. All right. Well, we don't have any more emails in the inbox. We don't have any more calls in the queue. Back to me wanting aged men and women. You know, I so appreciate the aged women that I do have in my life. You are jewels. You know, for the experience. Mama, she's a jewel. She really does help me, like, with the children.
Yeah.
You know, and more than just words, as far as what, you know, what it was like maybe when she grew up, what I should be doing that I'm not, that kind of thing in Deacon's home. And I just appreciate the age and the experience, because if it's not introduced into our mind, then we don't know. And sometimes hugs from aged spiritual dads and fathers, you know.
Absolutely.
It would be great.
Absolutely.
To be able to sit on the porch with Deacon Gaston again, or, you know, share a story with Brother Roger and hug Dad Dow, and you know what I mean? Those
truthfully,
are special.
Yes. Ashley, that's going to be all of us for the next generation.
Yes, it is.
Because that way we will have grown up in this.
Yes.
And we can pour even greater into the next generation. So they will have, to all of us, tons of aged people in their 70s and 80s, and so I look forward to being able to be that grandma sitting on the front porch and the young ones coming by and just learning how to be a woman. I look forward to that.
Hallelujah. I look forward to us, you know, as a people being able to see the good in everybody, and not just for a title, or, you know, not for a seat at the top or what, just literally seeing one another as family, helpers, you know, just being able to go to someone for help, no matter who that person is, if you see that they've lived through it, or if you're sharing an experience or whatever. I look forward to that. And, hey, Yah has not given us a spirit of bondage again. You know, He hasn't. He's given us a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Yahweh, and we are supposed to be becoming a family, you know. There's just, right now, it's just a lot of learning, a lot of fears, you know, a lot of things to get through in the early stages, because there are a lot of young members in our ministry. But hallelujah. I'm just rambling. It
takes humility among all of us to get to that state. So
yes, indeed.
If we all keep a humble nature and spirit before the Most High, Yah, we will be that people. And we're striving every day for that type of perfection. Hallelujah.
All right. Let's see. We got one more. Last one. I say last one. Y'all don't listen to me on some of that stuff. Just shake your head. Look. Aha. We got a verse to read. Look, we can't be selfish. Just wanted to go home and look. She brought me watermelon, y'all. I ate it too. She brought a little watermelon drink. You haven't even touched that watermelon drink. We're here for you. So don't let me rush us out of here. Many blessings, Mother, Sister Ashley. It's an honor to be able to hear from you tonight. Speaking of loving oneself, can you please explain this passage? Is this showing love? 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 15, actually, so I'll read kind of quickly. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have
not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you, to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commend you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So he's right there in a reference to a brother that would walk disorderly, that would not even work. Like he's not even laying his hand to the plow in whatever aspect he's speaking of. But he says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word, by this epistle note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. She's asking, speaking of loving oneself, can you please explain the passage?
The passage... That's why we're thankful that we have the men that are over us, because they determine the disorderly and those that we need to not have communication with. So
it would be difficult to explain who to not be around or not.
Right. And that us as women, you know, I look at this as speaking to... so that the men can handle weighty matters as far as that goes. But, however, you do have women that are this way. You do have women that fall up under this. Let your leaders judge and discern, and then you'll know how to conduct yourself in that manner. But how this relates to loving yourself, I'm not really sure.
Oh, check this out. I forgot this part at the bottom. I'm sorry I didn't see this. This makes sense to me. I think I can help, too. What is the proper mindset to walk this out in righteousness, to get to the place where I love my sisters and brothers, be able to love myself while knowing that we aren't on one accord, instead of withdrawing myself from those who walk disorderly because I'm upset or I'm bitter about it, leading to condemnation, not loving myself, you know, acting out in my flesh towards somebody?
Okay. Right. Don't allow a spirit to come into you because of what someone else is doing. Because we're quick to do that. So maintain your character and your integrity until you are told to. But if you see a sister that you can't go to and admonish in a godly way, if she's doing something like that, then you keep your spirit. You let your peace return to you. Let your righteousness still be there. But you have to be careful not to receive bitterness and unforgiveness and all of these things. But like I said, that goes back to considering one as yourself. So if I were in this position, how would I want somebody to come to me and try to help me and correct me and get me out of this funk that I'm in or whatever or something like that? So I hope that helps the sister.
Yes. Do good to all men, especially those in the house of faith.
Absolutely.
Right? Especially to those in the house of faith.
And if they're not, they'll either cast themselves out or they'll be cast out.
Right. So you're not developing a relationship or a closeness with them. This is a single sister, by the way, you know, because we could send you to your husband, but you're not developing a closeness with them that's going to jeopardize you or your children or whatever. What you're doing is you're doing good unto all men, because I've seen entirely too many people repent and change and go from faith to faith and glory to glory to try to... I watched Pastor do this. He would literally treat everyone like they've done nothing. That is so Christ-like.
So merciful.
So it's very, very merciful. And so try to put that... Why? Because when you do something, and you know, with my experiences, and y'all, some of y'all know what that is. If I can understand now what it's like to be shunned by many, 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 many people, and go, wow, I'm going to be a merciful vessel now. You know what I mean? So it had its lesson for me, but what I mean is you don't want to do unto somebody else what you would want not done to you. So if you mess up and something happened to you, or you do anything disorderly, what would you want done towards you? You know, that's what you do. Until the men straighten things out and say, hey, separate or whatever, until then, do good unto all men. What happened to just good old-fashioned kindness? You know,
there could be a reason why the person is reacting and coming out in that way. That's why, and we always need to remember Ezekiel. Sometimes you have to warn the wicked.
Yeah.
So that you're not held accountable.
Absolutely.
But you even do that in righteousness. You know, you don't do it in a haughty spirit. But just pray and ask the Father how you should deal with that person if he, you know, because he knows all things. But until you've got direction, like Sister Ashley said, on how to, on what the men have, or whatever they're going to decide, whatever judgments that they have towards the person.
Don't forget it's about life and gaining here.
Absolutely.
We can get into the negative and you know, believe that these lines
right.
that are being drawn and these separations are that
right.
like keep us from love, but that's not the goal ever.
Right.
Like you said, chastisement is love. All right, we're wrapping it up. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Mother, for coming. Mother came because, you know what I did? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell everybody. So I'm going to go to Mother and ask if she'll be on the show, but I'm not going to tell her that Mother Jennifer's not coming. So I'm going to see if she'll just come, you know. And so, of course, she's like, well, what's it going to be about? And then she comes back to me a few days later. She's like, oh, I forgot Mother Jennifer's not going to be here, so I'll come be on the show. Was you not going to be here?
I was going to do it regardless.
Oh, okay, hallelujah.
I was going to do it regardless, but I didn't find out Mother wasn't going to be here until yesterday.
And that helped a little bit.
That
like,
helped
I'm not
a little
leave
bit.
By herself.
That's exactly, that was exactly my thought. So I'm not going to leave her by herself.
Another selfless deed.
Even though you can handle it.
Hallelujah. Have an amazing night. Thank y'all so much. After this song, we're going to hit that shofar.
You must got your mind, you must have your mind made up, regardless of the pain. Using the testimony, your own testimony, and the ones around you. But you gotta have your mind made up.
What is in your hallelujah?